The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
I remember having the argument with Jack beforehand, kind of going, Jack, if this shit doesn't work, you would have put me back out in the field and don't whip the big donkey out of full power.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.
Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Speaking of riding off into the sunset,
you're a Liverpool fan. Who do you want to be the next Man United manager?
I want Michael Carrick to keep the job for the rest of the season. Get the interim job and keep it for the next couple of months. Get some big results and then they'll give him the job. So we'll have the same crack next year then.
You're not mad on Carrick?
No, it'd be more the same, wouldn't it? I think they obviously need a big manager. To be fair to Solskjaer, he tried to clean out some of the dead wood and
left too much there.
Probably. Mm. But look, a lot of the damage was done with Van Gaal and Mourinho. Some of the signings they had, and they've gone into the transfer window in the last couple of seasons. So he's got some players that he's wanted.
Yeah.
And look, ultimately, I know this from playing in teams myself. You can have the guidance and the structure comes from the head coach, but you look at the players and their desire and their ability to really dig in. It doesn't seem to be there. Something's wrong there. So maybe players are unhappy with the structure and what the information, game plans, all that stuff. It's amazing.
Can I just ask you on that, though? Because it really is utterly astounding that a selection of players of the ability that they have could produce the performances that they produced on Saturday. And, like, have you ever experienced that as a player where you're in a dress room that it's gone and it's almost like nothing can change here because this is just gone. The malaise is set in here and there's no way out, like...
Not to that extent, Johnny. I think I've been in dressing rooms and been with different coaches and a number of coaches over the years at Munster over a 15-year period. And you've often had times where players are you're on a bad run and players go to management and senior people step up and you change what you're doing and you go back to basics or you tweak things a little bit. I've seen lots of arguments with players and coaches and senior players over the years and maybe discontent about game plans. But not to the level that you just don't see the same desire. It was really striking. I watched Match of the Day the other night and, you know, I'm a Liverpool fan, but just they were highlighting the pressing, the work rate, the desire, right from the front three out. And then you watch United and look, obviously it's not my game, but I love watching the football over the years and I'm a big football fan, but that work rate, that kind of bite, that passion, that desire doesn't seem to be there. I met someone on Saturday who said that, you know, he lost the dressing room. Someone working in TV in the UK who'd be privy to some of the stuff that's happening around the Premier League. And obviously there are only rumours that, you know, there's a lot of discontent there about the way they were playing and they kind of backstabbed Solskjaer a little bit. And they've got to have a look at themselves because... they didn't show passion, desire for their team, I think, in the last few weeks. And there's something wrong there. You know, there's obviously something wrong. So maybe a big name manager coming in will change that.
Let's move on to the rugby. Before we talk about Ireland and Argentina, I did want to kind of put the context of the weekend around the entire November series. So France were dominant against the All Blacks. And maybe in the end, the scoreboard didn't even reflect how dominant they were. But they put in one of the best performances that you're ever going to see in terms of the quality of their handling, the lines of their running, the aggressiveness of the physicality of their forwards. Everything you want from a rugby team, France were that on Saturday night. So have they now established themselves in the pecking order as like the team to beat for the next 18 months, 2 years, right up to the World Cup? Does it in some way maybe make us think, OK, we're not the finished article just because we beat the All Blacks?
Yeah, well, it tempers that win last week a little bit, and it's a bit of a reality check. But I don't think it takes away from Ireland's performance because even when New Zealand were top of their game and with loads of experienced internationals and the Carters and the McCaws and all these people in the team, Nanu, they always found it difficult in Paris or in France. They always found it difficult. And this traditionally, this game is a late night, Saturday night game. and it was always a difficult game for them. France are a common force in the last 2 years, and Galtier has done a fantastic job. Sean Edwards, and they've got young players now who are full of confidence and belief, changed the way they're playing. They're kind of trying to get back and get some of the traditions of old, the attack in rugby, the counter-attack, the excitement, what French people want. And so it was no surprise to me that they beat New Zealand on Saturday night. I think the manner in the win, because you said it, Ger, they looked comfortable right from the word go. They physically dominated New Zealand. And there was lots of stuff happened that was similar to what happened in Dublin last week. So, it's probably just checks us a little bit, and it's no harm to say that France, and look, given that they'll have a home World Cup in 2 years, how dangerous they're going to be and how difficult they're going to be. I said this last week, you know, if we were to get out of the group, we've got South Africa and Scotland in that group, which is going to be really difficult to get out in the first place. But you'd imagine that's what will happen. You play in New Zealand or France, and New Zealand, I suppose, look, there's a certain amount of mental fatigue there, and they look a little bit different. They look tired, and they look rocked a little bit by two teams 2 weeks in a row who physically got amongst them and really unsettled them, and showed chinks in the armour.
Okay, just one case of defence there. If they beat them by 15, like, how many points were Ireland better than New Zealand on the day?
Oh, probably 20. Mm. If we'd taken the scores in the first half, and maybe there's room for improvement then, Johnny. You know, but if you played New Zealand in a week's time, it could be a different story. Like, they've top quality players. I just think they got rocked a little bit by that Irish performance, really dented. And look, usually they come out and they dominate the opposition the week after, no matter who they are. But France used that template, and they were brilliant. Look, Dupont, just an amazing player. Yeah. He's going to win World Player of the Year. Intermac, really crucial turning point around 61 or 2 minutes, I think, when New Zealand kicked the ball in. It ended up in the France end goal line. It could have bounced up to one of the New Zealand players. Could have been a try. It was only 5 points in it. They go down the field. He breaks out, Intermac, with just incredible confidence. And France nearly scoring the other end of the field. Real turning points. But yeah, they rocked New Zealand, and it was an incredibly impressive performance. We've got to go there in the second game in the Six Nations, so it'll be another yardstick to measure, the progress that we've made.
And really looking forward to it. It's actually really set up beautifully now over the next couple of years, in that on our side of the draw, it's us and South Africa, who obviously have had an interesting tour, and Razzie's enjoying his pint of Guinness in London. Fair play to him. Mackie pint, I have to say,
it wouldn't be great now.
Terrible, wasn't it?
Didn't look good.
Yeah.
He seemed to enjoy it. Fair play to him. So it's us in South Africa. We're going to have a good game.
And I love the way you say manky old pint.
It was
terrible from according to Quinny.
Didn't look good.
It's going to be New Zealand and France in the group stages. That's a great game, and then we're all on each other's sides. It's like, wow, this is this, that side of the World Cup draw is lit.
You have to remember, Ger, there could be Scottish people watching this now, so don't be giving any ammunition to the Scots.
Look, if Scotland beat us, fair play, they deserve to go through, and we did not deserve to even be talking about a World Cup quarter final. But it's well set up, and it's well set up because we believe in what we're doing, and the style of play has been consistent across these three tests and even back to the summer when the opposition wasn't very strong. But Ireland have done the same thing now. It looks like a corner has been turned, and everybody's playing with the level of confidence that you get when everybody knows what their job is. Everybody fully understands.
What you need to see, Ger, is you need to see the 2023 Six Nations being a dominant one, being an exciting one for Ireland, having really, really, really good performances, been thereabouts for a Grand Slam or a Triple Crown. We don't need to see what we saw in 2019, England overpowering us and starting that kind of negative run. Wales beating us in the last game. And a lot of question marks around where we're at going into that World Cup. You know, the World Cup warm-up over in Twickenham, 50 points conceded. So mentally, going into that World Cup in 2 years' time, you need people to be excited. And I wouldn't say getting ahead of themselves, but saying Ireland are they have good form. They've shown it this year. They have a lot of good players. They have a lot of good depth. And that's probably the key going to that World Cup. And then if you go in against New Zealand or France, that you have that bit of aura about you, that body language kind of shows that you're near top of your game. It's very hard to peak and get these things right, but that's probably the goal now. And what impressed me yesterday about Argentina is it was a kind of a scrappy, kind of dogged performance. And there was a lot of young players can take a lot from particularly the finishing of that game yesterday, the way they defended so well. They didn't give up any score. And, you know, 7 tries all from the forwards. So what we saw against New Zealand last week was loads of width, loads of line breaks, going to the edge of the pitch time after time. We didn't see that yesterday because Argentina had done so much analysis in Ireland that they kept so much width in their defence that they cut off those channels, and Ireland had to dug it out a little bit. So I really enjoyed that second half yesterday. I think first half scrappy, a lot of turnovers, but they're very difficult to play against, and then the sending off changes the game really. Yeah. It allows Ireland to change gears.
Let's talk about Carberry, because we've been obsessed with the role that Carberry will play in Irish rugby really for 4 or 5 years now, and finally he's put a bit of game time together. Big questions about whether or not his form was any good coming into the November window. He seems to have found his form over the course of the time with Ireland, and like it's a massive leap forward for everybody's faith in him, and I guess for his own self-confidence too, hopefully.
Well, that's what I was hoping, and everybody was hoping. You know, a lot of people in Connacht were disappointed that Jack Carty wasn't picked at the start of this, and that maybe Joey Carberry didn't deserve to be in the squad on form. And a legitimate argument. But Farrell, Carberry's too good to dismiss. And, you know, I think picking him in the squad, the idea was to try and give him a little bit of a spark, give him something different, give him more game time, training with really good players around him and different structure and different game plan and stuff like that, and see if he could express himself. I think he's done that. And I think, you know what, the simplistic thing for any fly half to get their confidence back is nailing goal kicks. And last week, coming on, finishing there, incredible high for him personally as well. And
he looks really confident there, Quinny, doesn't he? Like, he looks really confident on that.
And this is the key, Johnny. I think for any sports person, we all have doubts and we all have go through rough periods. Dare I say, look at Harry Maguire at the moment. Sometimes when you're in a bad place and things are going wrong, you're hoping that, you know, you'll get a goal as a striker, or you'll get a try as a player, as a rugby player, or you'll get a point as a hurler. And that'll just change things. But sometimes it just doesn't happen like that. Something bad will happen again, and a disappointment or a setback or a mistake. And you want something good to happen that just changes the dynamic, the narrative, just eases a bit of pressure from the public, from the media, everything. And I think that's what we've seen with Carberry. He now, people go, well, that was really good from Carberry yesterday. That was composed. It was efficient. I think I could only see one mistake, the knock on from the up and under, which he probably should have taken. But he took a couple of balls like that. Defensively, not just the goal kicks, but defensively, he put in some good tackles.
Great
impact
technique.
Tackles, which were really, yeah, and that's important.
It is.
That's a sign that you kind of have your spark a little bit. It might not make sense to people who are the layperson, but it just shows that, yeah, there's a good feeling there for the player. And he showed that then with his maturity and you know, so it was a really good performance from him. And that's pleasing for this depth chart at out half.
Yeah, he's back and he's definitely in that conversation again. And it was interesting as well that they didn't take him off. They gave him as much game time as possible. They put him to full back and he was still creative there as well. So it's like, look, we're thinking about this. We're going to try and pose a different challenge for whatever teams we play in the World Cup over the next couple of years. And I think that's important too. It's like this team isn't final, that we're not just going to play this one style, that you do the work that Argentina did and you close that down. It's like, okay, we'll beat you a different way. Because that was never the case under Schmidt. You were like, you do the homework, you work us out, game over.
Just on that as well, is there a parallel, Quinny, with Stephen Kenny? Because like there must be a relationship developing between the Ireland fans and this team. Like they have absolutely hockeyed Japan and Argentina, beaten the All Blacks. They have a new manager who's trying to play a different way. Like this could be the start of something special as well.
But I said this last week, Johnny, as well. There's no guarantee. There is a guarantee, I think. They're going to have a bumpy period along the way for the next 2 years, and it may end up being a negative scenario of the World Cup. But in the here and now, and I think, you know, given everything that's happened with COVID and the joy we get out of sport and the lack of that and the way that was, like, people's lives have been turned upside down, I think they have to enjoy this. Mm. And I just like Farrell. And there is similarities with Stephen Kenny. They're relaxed. They're joyful. They want to make their players happy. They want them to take responsibility. Lots of the people I've spoken to, connected with the camp in the last few weeks, have said that. You heard Omani yesterday, the most enjoyable month that he's probably of his career. Mm. And Farrell is very relaxed. He's driven. He's a winner. He's
Omani
incredible.
Was a sub, right? That's mad, isn't it? Because Omani wasn't getting picked. Now, he's getting in the squad, yeah. And maybe that's the level of competition there is at the moment. But it's really interesting to hear somebody who's captained the Lions say, I'm actually enjoying this. So we've done pieces with Peter Marnie down through the years where he's talked about like feeling sick all week in the week of games. That, like, it was not quite crippling, but that level of the build-up, the tension, particularly in the those moments in the hotel before you go to the match, like absolute intense tension. And here he is actually enjoying playing rugby for Ireland. It's mad.
Yeah, I just hope we're not saying this in 2023 that it's tough and we're under pressure and we're trying to change the way we play and all the stuff maybe that we've heard in the last year or two. But like, there's been a bit of an evolution. You look at what's changed yesterday. There's a lot of young players in there. Balakun, Dan Sheehan, revelation. Now, Balakun didn't get enough of ball yesterday. It was difficult for him and I felt sorry for him. He never got a chance to get a little bit of space. Ryan Baird, Craig Casey, Tom O'Toole even coming off the bench, and Nick Timoney, Harry Byrne looked really composed and okay, they're on the front foot. But from a situation last week where we're kind of saying we're a little bit disappointed with selection and we would have hoped to have seen more, you end up with six or seven guys there who are very, very inexperienced. They've only a couple of caps between them and they're on the field defending for their lives when Argentina are throwing the kitchen sink at them in the end, and they're not giving anything up, and yeah, they're ruthless, and there was a real ruthless side to that. So look, happy camp, you know, players play better, it's the same as any sport, but if you're winning in sport, it's always easier to kind of focus on it's a better environment. If the pressure is on and results are going wrong for any sporting team, it becomes a bit more difficult. But I just think Farrell has a really relaxed temperament about him, and he expects his players to turn up and be professional and all that, but it's a little bit more relaxed and maybe they're enjoying this.
One last thing.
And fair play.
One last thing. The comment about us being too reliant on Leinster, was it Gerry Flannery said, when you look at the front row alone, you've got Porter, Kelleher, Furlong on the bench, you've got Sheehan and Healy. That's obviously five of the six. There is a heavy reliance on Leinster. Is that a bad thing? Is there any way we can turn that into a positive?
What's the issue like? You know, of course, we didn't see Dave Kilcoyne in this series, which was obviously very disappointing for him. I think the depth chart there could be a little concerning. Furlong and Porter, you play South Africa, or you play a powerful France side or New Zealand side, they're just at a different level. Like Furlong was sensational throughout this tournament, this window. He looks so fit. He looks so strong, powerful in the carries. He's just an incredible player. He's an incredible player. Best tight end in the world.
Out of contract at the end of the season, someone is backing a Brinks truck up to his farm and saying, here, this is empty. We're dropping it in. Ideally, that's Leinster in Ireland. He's done well for negotiating the one-year deal.
Yeah, he has. And look, he's in a position now where he can sort a very, very good contract and deserves it. They've got to try and keep him. If he goes somewhere, who knows? Maybe he'll go for a year. I don't know what the situation is there. But you want more depth in certain positions. Look, at the end of the day, if Sexton is out, doesn't play, Carberry has to show more, you know, he has to show more consistency, and hopefully he can do that now when he goes back with Munster. I would have liked to have seen Kieran Frawley as well. But look, given these three matches and the nature of them, I think the only one I would have said that I would have liked to have seen the a little bit more change was Argentina. But okay, there was cohesion built.
Yeah.
And
in the long
you know,
run,
it's a very positive finish for them. And overall, I don't think anyone's going to get carried away by this. They've got to try and get better.
All right, Quinny, we leave it there. Good stuff. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
They're unusually all positive rugby slots. It's like, just a bit out of, I mean, can they all keep their form for 2 years? That's the big question. We need to wait and see.
Will the France game be a good template in terms of Six Nations and Paris where they're at?
Yeah, it will. And we might just have really brilliant, because England are playing really well at the moment. Mm. There are clear signs of progress in Scotland. Wales can come from nowhere and win a Grand Slam, as we keep seeing to our cost.
It'll be a hell of a Six Nations.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And for the next 2 years, it's going to be good as well.
OTB AM. With Gillette. Proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.